On this most holy of nights, I bid you a very warm welcome to this place of praise and prayer, a place where we gather in a sanctuary. Away from the biz and the noise of the world, we come to receive once again the gift of the Christ child. My colleague, Pastor Steve, and I hope and pray that you feel something of the peace and the joy and the love of Christmas as you gather here this night. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God by singing, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Let us pray. Holy God, with people down through the ages, we have heard the call to come and adore you, to come and adore you as you came into this world, as we come into this world, weak and helpless and vulnerable, as a child in Bethlehem. God, we join the heavenly host this night in singing your praises, in giving thanks that you have come from the glory of heaven down to this world. God, come into our hearts, come into our homes, come to this place, come into this world once again, and bring with you peace, everlasting peace. God, meet with us here this night and bless this time that we share together. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Please be seated. Good evening. Thank you. And a very warm welcome into the house of God this night. We gather to remember that Christ, the child in Bethlehem, is born once again, may you indeed know something of the peace and the joy that Christ brings. May you know that as you gather here. May you know that as you celebrate at home this night and tomorrow. Tomorrow morning for Christmas Day, there will be normal worship at 9:30, and all are welcome to attend that service here in the sanctuary. You'll notice that our sanctuary is beautified by our Christmas tree, by you, but also with these lovely poinsettias. If you wish to take your poinsettia home with you this evening, that's perfectly okay. If you wish to wait until after the service tomorrow, that is equally all right. So once again, I bid you a very warm welcome and pray that you find something of the peace of Christmas in this service. Together we read the very familiar words of the story of the birth of Christ. We read first of all from the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 2, reading from verses 1 to 5. In those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered, and Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. We remain seated to sing the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, but we do invite the children who have Mary, Joseph, a donkey and a cow manger, if you would like to come forward and help us make our nativity scene at the front. So we sing seated, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
We're looking now for the baby Jesus. Thank you, Jennings. The baby Jesus needs to come forward.
And in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
Thank you, Katie. We now have the angel figures to come forward while we sing of the angels. Angels, we have heard on high.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with the child, so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Thank you, Theo. We're now going to sing about the humble shepherds watching their flocks by night, and as we do so, we invite the children with sheep or shepherds to come forward.
And from the Gospel according to the Evangelist Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? for we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. We'd like the wise men to journey to the crèche at this time.
One wise man and a wise woman and another wise man. Thank you so much. It's very sad when we look at the crèche. Thank you. That sheep giving you bother. So we look at the crèche and we see all the important people, all the people that were there on the first Christmas. It's Mary and Joseph, the baby Jesus. There's cows and sheep. There's wise men. There's shepherds. Who's missing? Who's missing? Who do we always have at Christmas that's missing? Santa Claus? No. Someone else. Give me a second. No. Talk amongst yourselves. Thank you. Don't stop. Do you like my noodles? So, why are you laughing? I think this looks totally, completely and utterly sensible. I mean, you don't often see me with all this stuff on, do you? Look at it, it's made for expansion. I'm going to have to eat lots of Christmas dinner. Oh, my antlers have gone. Rudolph. Rudolph has to be around at Christmas. Why are you laughing, Landon? Does this look silly? That's what I'm paid to be. Silly. Rudolph is silly, you think. But actually, we need Rudolph right up here. Because Rudolph has something to tell us about Christmas. The more I have this on my nose, the less I'm going to be able to breathe. So I'm going to put it there, because that looks so much more sensible. So I want you to sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But I don't want you to sing. I'm going to take these off, because I realize that it just doesn't look quite the part. So, since you can't see him now, you need to sing about him. So what I want you to do is I want you to sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I want the ladies and children to sing the first part, and then when we get to "Then one foggy Christmas Eve," who's going to sing that? The guys, the men. Okay, so I'm hoping our musicians in the corner can maybe play Rudolph the Red-Nosed. Now, you know what you're doing? Okay? Ladies and children are going to sing the first bit, and then when we get to "Then one foggy Christmas Eve," the men are going to sing that. So after three, one, two, two and a half, give them time to get the guitar. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it was. The reindeers used to laugh and call him Nick. Come on, they never let yourself a clap. So you might say, right, that's just a bit of fun. Because Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer doesn't really belong in this scene here. But actually, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer has something to tell us about Christmas. You see, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer wasn't really welcome. Nobody wanted Rudolph. Have you heard that before this evening? There was no room for Jesus. Nobody wanted Jesus, and throughout his life, Jesus was kind of shunned. No one really wanted him. And then with Rudolph, suddenly everybody wants Rudolph. Suddenly Rudolph isn't excluded. Suddenly there's room for everyone with Santa and his reindeers. And you know, that's really part of the story of Christmas. You know, sometimes we feel that we're maybe just a little bit different. Boys and girls, maybe you sometimes feel that at school. You're a little bit different, just like Rudolph was a little bit different. Maybe sometimes you feel that people laugh and point at you because you look different, or you act different, or there's something different about you. Well, you see, here is the message of Christmas. That it doesn't matter how different we are. It doesn't matter how maybe a little strange we might be at times. It doesn't matter if we don't fit in certain places, because Christmas tells us that there's room for everyone in the heart of God. God loves the whole world. That was why he sent Jesus. And the message of Rudolph is that no one is excluded. At the end of the story, no one is excluded. And here's the wonderful news about Christmas, that God loves all of the world. Whoever feels different or left out, just like Rudolph, here's the thing with God. No one's left out. Not one single person. Because Jesus came into this world to say, whoever you are, whatever you've done, however different you feel, I've come for you because I love you. And my friends, that's at the very heart of Christmas. God's love for everyone. Whoever we are, whatever we have done, whatever we look like, there's room in God's heart for everyone. And that is why Jesus came. Thanks be to God. Let us sing, What Child Is This?
Thank you.
So we gather on this holy night. We gather full of expectation, full of anticipation for the wonderful gift, the gift that really, really went way beyond anything we could ever imagine or deserve. So I want to begin by telling you a story about two children. And these two children grew up in the same home, brother and sister. One child was always, always looking on the bright side. No matter what happened to this child, they always saw the positive, they always saw the good. And here was this other child growing up in the same home, and no matter what happened, this child was always the pessimistic one. They could never see anything good in anything. And their parents were really at the end of their tether. And they decided one Christmas Eve to do an experiment to see how the children reacted to the gifts that they would get. Now, to the child who was always pessimistic, the parents gave them exactly what they asked for at Christmas. On Christmas morning, the child got up, burst open all the presents, and with every present, had a complaint to make. Well, that's a nice watch. But it's a watch with a battery. The battery's going to run out. Where am I going to get another battery? It's not going to last forever. The child opened another present, and it was a beautiful toy train set. The child looked at the present and said, "It's lovely, but it's not the one I wanted. I wanted a locomotive. I didn't want a steam engine." And so the complaints went on and on. The other child, the very optimistic, sunny, non-complaining child, woke up on Christmas morning, and there in their bedroom was a pile of manure. The parents waited to see what the reaction would be. The child was whooping with joy. "This is fantastic. I cannot believe it. It's wonderful." And the parents said, "What? What? It's a pile of manure." And the child said, "With all this manure, there has to be a pony in here somewhere." So how do you look at life? Which one are you? Do you look on the bright side? Or are you a little pessimistic? Do you know, it's interesting because Christmas is pretty much near the end of the year. For many of us, 2016 has been a very difficult year and would make us feel extremely pessimistic. Sad, maybe. Worried. Frightened. There's lots to be pessimistic about. Look at the state of the world. Look at the refugees in Syria. This country is going through times of transition that will be welcomed by some and are received by others with fear and trembling. Changes are afoot. It's hard not to be pessimistic, is it not? Although if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, I guess this is a good evening for you. It's hard not to be pessimistic. And then we come on a night like this and we want to be hopeful. Well, we want to look on the bright side, but then we sing these hymns and we read from Scripture and we read about peace on earth and we want to say, "Well, God, newsflash, there is no peace on earth. Seems to be things are going from bad to worse." We sing about the angel chorus singing, "Glory to God in the highest." I wonder how many of you are here tonight feeling just a little bit pessimistic about singing "Glory to God in the highest heaven," because you're asking, "Where are you, God? Where are you?" When we watch refugees pouring across our world, "Where are you, God? When illness hits homes and wreaks havoc on families, where are you, God, when our child goes off the tracks and we don't know what to do?" And I ask you to come here and sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven." I suspect that you're here tonight because there's a little bit of pessimism inside of you. but you want to look on the bright side. You want to hope and pray that what we rejoice in this night is really, really true. I believe with my whole heart that it is really, really true. That God has left the glory of heaven and has taken on our flesh and our blood and has come into this world to heal this world and to give this world hope. What does that hope look like this night? Well, I want to tell you a story about a book that I read a number of years ago that's called 14 Cows for America. I know we started off with manure and now we're talking about cows. 14 Cows for America. So this story takes place in June 2002. And it's told by a man called Camilla. Camilla lives in California, but Camilla is of the Maasai tribe. And in June 2002, he travels home to be with his tribe in Kenya. He is welcomed with open arms by all of his tribe's people. And as is the custom of the Maasai tribe, he sits down with all his tribe gathered round about him, and he tells them a story about the land from which he has come, the United States of America. And he tells them this story of an event that happened. And the Maasai are agog. Agog. For Camilla tells them the story of a Tuesday morning the previous September, and of buildings that reached right up into the sky, higher than you could ever imagine when you're sitting in a village in Kenya. And Camilla tells them about these metal tubes that are like giant birds flying through the air carrying people. And Camilla tells them about fire so hot that it burns metal, and about a fog and a dust so thick that it blocks out the sun and its rays. And Camilla tells them of over 3,000 people dead. The Maasai listen. And the Maasai asks, what can we do? Camilla says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a cow. To the Maasai, a cow means life, and life means hope. And eventually all the Maasai get together and they gather 14 cows and they send for the American ambassador to Kenya, and he comes. And in a tribal ceremony there in that village, he receives 14 cows for America. And the tribal leader says this: there is no nation so powerful that it cannot be wounded. And there is no people so small that they cannot help. My friends, there is no nation. There is no person so powerful or so great that they cannot be wounded by life. All of us in some way have been wounded by life. Perhaps we've been wounded this year with the loss of a loved one. Perhaps we've been wounded this year by an illness affecting a loved one, or an accident, or a lost job, or whatever woundedness you carry to this place tonight. There is no one so powerful that they cannot be wounded by life, and all of us have been wounded by life, but there is not anything so small that it cannot help. God came in the smallest and humblest of ways as a child, to heal our woundedness, to tell us that in that woundedness and in that hurt, we are not alone. Because God is with us. And this night, my friends, I pray, however life has wounded you, that the tiny babe of Bethlehem, Christ the Lord, will heal you. Heal you of your hurts. Heal you of your pain. Heal you of your past. And surround you with everlasting love. Amen. And thanks be to God. We listen as Mark sings, O Holy Night. And as we do so, the offering will be uplifted.
Came the wise men from Orient land.
on this holy night, we invite you, one and all, to come to this table set with bread and wine. Whoever you are, whatever you have done, wherever you have come from, whatever has wounded your heart and whatever healing you seek, come now to this table to receive this bread and this wine, knowing that these are symbols of the love of God poured out into this world, poured into your lives to give you peace.
We also ask that you make note of the prayer concerns as they are printed in the bulletin. And at this time, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Holy and loving God, Emmanuel, on this holy night we gather again with saints above and saints below, with shepherds stunned by an angelic vision and their ears still ringing, with magi, curious and faithful to a star's leading. We gather again at a stable to worship you and to offer our thanks and praise. You came to us, O God, as an infant, wrapped in swaddling cloths and in the vulnerability and weakness and helplessness of our humanity. And in Jesus' life, you revealed to us what it means to be in relationship with you, to trust without reservation, to live in humility and reverence, to love one and to love all. In Jesus, you gave birth to a revolution of hope and peace and love, and you invite us, even us, foot-dragging, hard-hearted disciples, quick with excuses, you invite us to carry these gifts of love and hope and peace to all the corners of our worlds. Grant us, we pray, grace and commitment to be faithful midwives to your being born in our communities, our workplaces, our homes, and our hearts. We give thanks and praise, O God, that you continue to come to us, offering a light that the darkness within us and the darkness of the world cannot overcome, and a love that will never let us go. And we pray that we may be true reflections of that light and that love. Now we gather at the table Christ has prepared to receive once again the gifts of bread and cup. In these gifts may we be strengthened for the journey, made bolder in faith, and reckless in loving as you have commanded. We pray these things in the name of the one who came to us as an infant, modeled how to live and how to love, and taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same manner, also Jesus took the cup and he poured it out and said, "This cup is a New Testament sealed in my blood, shed that your sins might be forgiven. Drink of it, all of you, and when you do, remember me." On this holy night, these are the gifts of God, and you are the people of God. It was to you that Christ Jesus came, to your heart and to your home. Now come and receive of the bread and the wine. You will be directed so to do by the ushers. Please come forward as you're directed. If you wish to remain seated, then please let them know and someone will serve you where you sit. My friends, come to receive these gifts of God's love for you.
Let us pray. Loving and faithful God, you came to us as a child born in a stable, and here at Christ's table you come to us again in bread and cup. Now send us out to be your bread broken, your life poured out, to do your work, to share your love, model your grace, speak your hope, and plant seeds of your light that the darkness cannot overcome. Go with us, we pray, out into the sacrament of life. And all God's people said, Amen.
Rejoice, people of God, the light has come into the world.
Christ is born.
Rejoice, children of God, the Prince of Peace is among us.
Grant us, O God, your everlasting peace.
Rejoice, the people of God, love has been born into the world.
May the love of Christ be shared with all people everywhere.
Rejoice, children of God, on this holy night.
Let peace, love,
and goodwill shown to all. As we sing Silent Night, we each take our candle and we pass one to the other the light of the Christ child.
Thank you.
lift high the light of the world. You, my friends, are the light of the world. You go out in the name of the Christ child born this night. You go out to shout into the darkness, "Fear not, fear not, for God is with us." Your light shining shows that the darkness can never, ever put out the light that was born in Bethlehem, Christ the Lord. Go into the world. Go to enjoy this Christmas season. Go into the world and know God's peace and make God's peace. Be God's peace. Go into the world and may the joy of Christmas fill your hearts and fill your homes. And may the love of God, born in Bethlehem centuries ago, be born in your lives this night. And may this God be with you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you. And those whom you love, and all God's people everywhere, this night and forevermore. Let us sing "Joy to the World." May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Would you greet one another in peace?